I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This trade deadline episode of Blue Shirts Breakaway is brought to you by you, the Patreon subscribers. Go to patreon.com/blueshirtsbreakaway today to get access to our Discord, our BSBOT episodes, ad-free episodes, and more. It's what keeps this podcast going all year round. Tonight, Greg and I will do a straight hour together. I know, that sounds miserable for everybody involved. About the trade deadline, about the New York Rangers and what they've their play recently, and Matt Rempe, Rempe Media, their Empire State Building, and a bunch more. So stay tuned. It is just an hour of Greg and I. Wow. What special times. Here we go. Here's Mark Messier.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Bush Breakaway fans, welcome to the Bush Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Meaner, here with my co-host, Greg Kaplan. Greg, say hello.
Okay, where do you want to start? What part of Mamma Mia do you want me breaking down first from the high school musical theater?
The trade deadline edition, this is what you want to do?
I do. The level of excitement I had when those kids came out in flippers for Lay All Your Love on Me. Ryan, it was like the Rangers winning a Game 7.
I don't know if I've ever told you this, Greg. Did I tell you I was in backstage crew? And I,
yeah, you have.
You know, built the steps. Like,
yeah,
it
fits your personality pretty well.
Look, it's the reason why I hate High School Musicals. It just none of those kids were nice to me for a lot of reasons.
I mean, I'm not nice to you. We've been doing a podcast for 9 years.
That's fair. That's totally fair. Any other things you want to get for Mamma Mia before we get into everything else that has happened, which is a million things?
No, I'm going to sprinkle them in as we go along here.
All right. That's probably the best way to do this. So for anyone that's not watching, we were on the news last night. Fix 11 somehow had us on. That was really weird and super cool, to be honest. And at the time, we talked about trade deadline pieces. And I think not a lot has changed. And we've gotten even more clarity since that happened, Greg. Where do you want to start? Because I don't want to start with Lindy Ruff, and I don't want to start with the Florida Panther game, even though I think we'll get into all those things. But I think maybe off the rip, we start with the trade deadline and rumors and what we kind of expect, because that's what this particular show is all about.
Well, interesting. I don't know. I mean, I do know. I just don't know how to totally verbalize it right now. It's hard not to talk trade deadline without talking about the Florida Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs for that matter, because I think there are going to be two pretty distinct camps that come out of specifically tonight's game and also probably just a collective two-night effort in these two games. And the very negative are going to look at it as the New York Rangers played the Maple Leafs and the Panthers and only got one out of a possible 4 points. And they're going to look at that as a failure. And they're going to look at that as another red flag, even when there isn't a red flag there, but we'll get there. And then to me, from where I sit, I see the Rangers going toe to toe against what are probably two of the three best teams, not just in the Atlantic Division, but probably in the non-New York Ranger Eastern Conference. The Rangers played two 50-50 games, probably should have beat the Maple Leafs. You can make an argument that I don't know if they beat the Panthers, but Barkov has one of the single greatest individual efforts that leads to a goal. And Igor, I'm guessing he didn't see the puck somehow on Lomberg, but they are essentially an Igor gaff away from that being a 2-2 game with 5 minutes left in the third period. And at that point, anything can happen. So it's hard for me to be negative that this team only got 1 of 4 points in these two games when it's clear that they are going to make a minimum of 2 moves that we would consider probably impact moves between now and Saturday. And I just think that those 2 moves to make this lineup more complete, a lineup that, again, just went toe-to-toe against the best the East have to offer, it's hard for me to be negative after a game like tonight. Where I'm doing the thing where I'm talking to people that I don't even know if they exist. I think the majority of our listeners and you and I, we see what the Rangers did tonight. We see what's coming on the horizon. We understand the moves they're about to make. And to me, it raises my confidence level that they lost 2 coin flip games with essentially Edstrom and Rempe still in the lineup. And those are the 2 guys I expect to be coming out of this lineup on Saturday.
I'm not sure. I want to stick there for a moment because I think every point you made was right. I'm not sure I want to take Rempe out of the lineup. I know how crazy that sounds. I understand. I think somehow Rempe has become... I think you and I undersold this. I don't know how we undersold it. Rempe Mania is bigger than we thought. The MSG is just chanting the dude's name. Like, Igor gets chance, and like, that's about it. And Rempe's getting chance. Like, dude, I know he's a big guy. He fought Reeves. I think the fight went a little too long, if I'm being honest. Reeves said a lot of nice things after, etc. I don't know why the refs didn't kind of get in there sooner, because it was the center of hockey night during earlier this week, especially on Saturday. But I know that they're going to get better players than Rempe, period. But I also just know that once Rempe is taken out of this lineup, every single time anything happens, it will be, we need Rempe in this lineup. And I do think he provides some good. I look, there were some forechecking tonight that was questionable from him. I think the penalty against him was particularly soft. But the story of Matt Rempe, I can't believe I'm saying this, and usually we dive first things into these things. I think you and I undersold the Matt Rempe story somehow in a huge way. Like, when Russillo and Bill Simmons are talking about Matt Rempe, I have fucked up. I have not done my job enough, because I see him for what he is, but everyone else in their whole wide world of hockey, like, he's one of the most popular guys in the NHL right now. It's hard for me to explain. I don't really get it. And it does feel like, hey, if we're taking Rempe off this team, we're really changing a lot of the chemistry and what this team has become over the last couple games. Maybe I'm being crazy here. Maybe I'm being out of place, but it does seem weird to be like, okay, we're making these trades and we're taking Rempe off when he's made some sort of impact on this team, whether it's actually on the ice or not.
I think you're being crazy. Listen, I love the Matt Rempe story as much as the next guy. His personal story, it's hard not to get emotional and build an attachment to the player. But come on, Jesus Christ, we're talking about a guy that plays about on average 7 minutes a night and is still averaging more penalty minutes than time on ice. This guy, it's a nice story. These nice stories happen every year. I'm happy more people are watching hockey. I'm happy more people are aware that the New York Rangers exist. I'm happy Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo did a segment on Matt Rempe. That's great. We've Lord knows we've had Katie Baker on this podcast enough where hopefully it should have happened by now. So if this is what it takes, great. But come on, call a spade, man. You can't sit there. People can't sit here and tell me they want the New York Rangers to win a Stanley Cup and then also tell me that Matt Rempe needs to stay in the lineup.
Oh, it's going to be both, though. You know that. You know it's going to be both.
Cool. Then we're just playing with different rules and standards. I don't know. This the same fan base that tells me Cabo Caco sucks is now telling me I can't take Matt Rempe out of the lineup, because
yeah,
that's the same
weird,
person.
Isn't that pretty funny?
That's the same fucking person. Like,
yeah,
I
just tweeted this out, actually. This could be, and I think it's unlikely, but it could be Kako's last game as a Ranger.
It's fucking not. It's not.
It's weird to say. Like, it could be. There's a chance. All I'm saying, I don't think it is.
Sure. I mean, there's also a chance the sun blows up tomorrow if we're doing things that are unlikely.
Okay. Look, I just think there's 2 players that we've heard pretty emphatically that the Rangers are all linked to, right? We had our dear friend Emily Kaplan on the podcast last week to do a trade deadline preview, and she talked about Novak from the Nashville Predators. And it does seem like at that point in time, Chris Drury was, I don't want to say all in on Novak, but That was his main target. And then Barry Trotz decided, hey, I'm going to extend him for 3 years, $3.5 million. So that kind of threw that out the window. I think they were looking for a first-round pick, and the Rangers weren't looking to offer that at that point in time. And then all of a sudden, that got extended. So now that leaves us with a couple different options. There's been a lot of different names around, but the two names that we keep coming back to is Wennberg and Frank Vetrano. The Wennberg thing, maybe you take a guess at it. Like, I don't know what I feel about Wennberg. I think his charts are interesting. I think he's a third liner most of the time. But I also think they could get him for something cheaper. And then Frank Vetrano, all the reports are, hey, the Ducks want a lot for him. And I guess they could retain, but they want a lot. And I don't know what the a lot is from the New York Rangers. That's part of what I'm saying. Like, I think if they're going to trade Kako, it could happen. I don't know if it would be for Frank. I think that would be a mistake, a huge mistake on the Rangers' parts. I did see the Tuck. I don't know why I'm calling him Tuck. Isn't it Tuck? I forget how to pronounce it. I'm sorry. And I saw that trade rumor. That's a trade you would make, especially because of team control, et cetera. He's way better than Kako. But Kako is a very valuable piece to this team, especially because we've talked about it ad nauseum. We don't need to do that. But I'm just saying there is a chance. There's a chance. And those are the two names I think we're likely to see become Rangers. And I just don't know how it happens.
I think Wennberg, unless something changes here at the death, I feel pretty confident we're going to be doing either emergency episode or early BSBOT Tuesday or Wednesday talking about the Wennberg trade. Larry has better sources than you and I will ever have. And Larry's been talking about him for a month. That's not by coincidence. It's kind of a very clear sign as to where things are going. And we know Drury likes to keep things very close to his chest. We know that he has worked very hard to button up any leaks or any information that could be coming out of his front office. And to his credit, it's worked for the most part, with the exception of maybe three or four moves he's made that we've been able to uncover. Brodzinski, we had a couple hours before it came out. But really, he's, especially this year, he's buttoned up. The only reason we keep hearing Vetrano is because the Ducks keep telling people that we keep wanting Vetrano.
They absolutely do.
Yeah, and it's an interesting tactic by Verbeek, who, by all accounts, seems to be one of the most ruthless negotiators currently in the NHL. And I think he's trying to see if Drury's going to blink. I don't think Drury will. He hasn't in the past. It would be a break from character for Drury to suddenly pay an exuberant price for a player in a trade. We were underwhelmed by what they gave up for Tarasenko and Mikola. They didn't give up a first round pick for Patrick Kane, which I understand part of that is because Kane controlled his own destiny, but still, Rangers gave up fucking nothing in that trade. They didn't give up a guaranteed first for Andrew Kopp. They gave up a fourth round pick for Frank the first time. It would be shocking to see Drury get beat, quote unquote, in a trade at this deadline when it doesn't feel like a lot of players are going to get moved. Doesn't feel like a lot of good players are going to get moved. And it feels like more teams, it's not even that teams are unwilling to sell. It's more like the league, that playoff race for each wild card in every division is so wide because, frankly, there just aren't clear-cut great teams in the league this year that why would anyone, why not just roll the dice and keep selling season tickets? This is a league somehow still dominated by gate returns more than anything else, including TV revenue. So, if you're the Seattle Kraken, does it make more sense for you to take a late first-round pick for Jordan Eberle or to just roll the dice, see if you can make the playoffs, keep him, sell off a bottom six forward that is perfectly fine and capable, but you can get probably a decent draft pick and maybe a prospect for him, keep Eberle, see if you can re-sign him, and if you can't, You put more asses in the seat. I know I haven't answered for 1 second whether I think Wennberg is good, whether I think he's a good fit. I think he's an interesting fit. He definitely adds more length to the lineup. He's a, this is very boring to say, responsible 200-foot hockey player.
Handsome man who can play hockey, yes.
Yeah, it's nice to have another man rocket.
it's good to do.
But like he's not going to score 10 goals for the Rangers, probably. He's not going. He's also not going to be, you know, the. It's no accident. Again, we say this all the time. When MSG starts highlighting a line quite like they highlighted Cooley, Goodrow, and VC, and I think the Rangers' goal is: can we acquire enough players to keep a line like that together come playoff time? But also, more importantly, I think the Rangers see Wennberg as a natural center, but also a guy that in a pinch they could play on the wing and a guy that they can move up and down the lineup if certain players get hurt, or simply put, if certain players aren't performing. Laviolette has loved doing that this year. We know how much he enjoys a Swiss Army man. He's been able to move VC up this lineup, been able to move Kako up this lineup. Lord knows he double shifts and triple shifts any of Lafreniere, Trocheck, and Panarin, depending on game situation. So Wennberg's a guy that will eat minutes for the Rangers moving up and down the lineup, but also playing a responsible 200-foot game down the middle. And that it's going to have a price. They're going to ask the Kraken to retain. It's going to cost at minimum a second-round pick and a prospect. And if you want to hold on to your prospect, it's going to cost you your first. I think it's fine, but it's also... it's not a move that's going to make me think all of a sudden the New York Rangers are a Stanley Cup contender. It's just a solidifying move. And you need some of those. It's, you know what it is? It's the 2022 Mets edition of Daniel Vogelbach, where the move makes perfect sense, even if I think the player is kind of just fine.
It makes sense. What's really confusing to me about Wennberg is when I look at his charts, some say he's more of an offensive player and others say he's more of a defensive player with no offense. And I just don't know which one it is. I haven't watched a lot of Wennberg over the past 2 years.
Well, you need to stop looking at Jay Fresh.
Okay.
Stop. That's stop number one.
Stop there. Go Evolving Wild or Die.
I've been leaning much more on HockeyViz and Micah's numbers this year. And the Wennberg stuff's interesting because the Seattle offense as a whole is not that great. And Wennberg, when he's on the ice, the offense dips slightly, but not significantly. I believe the numbers I saw today is with Wennberg on the ice, the Kraken are about 6% below league average. And when he's off the ice, they are 1% below league average. So, like,
fine.
Yeah, fine. And defensively, he's just responsible. They're not much better. They're not much worse when he is or isn't on the ice. And it's also just remember who he's likely to be playing with. Ideally, he's probably playing...
Kako?
Well, this is the thing. Is Brodzinski really coming out of this lineup to keep... Edstrom's the first guy coming out, right?
Edstrom and Rempe are the first two. Doesn't matter what. They're the first two.
Are you sure? Now, you're the guy who told me I need to double-think this Rempe shit.
I want him to stay, but I think they're the first two coming out. You could think both ways.
So then ideally, Wennberg is playing. I just think Laviolette's going to fall in love with Cooley, Goodrow, VC.
And I think the fourth line?
Or just the checking line. Whatever line you want to put it as. Number you want to give it. So that means Wennberg will be playing alongside Brodzinski, who's a shoot-first player, which would work with Wennberg's style. And
Kako.
Unless they don't get a number one. Like, again, this is where we transition to Vetrano. Vetrano's the guy where you get him for him to play right wing 1 minute. I do think if the Rangers are making a priority to trade, it's not going to cost a lot to get Wennberg, but it's going to cost enough where, like, if you're the Rangers, are you trading your first, your second, and two prospects this year for players you see as complementary?
No.
So then if you're getting Wennberg and you're trading a second and Robertson, let's say, you're really going to then turn around and trade a first for Frank Vetrano?
It's first plus. A first is not enough.
I know, but
that's the thing.
That's what I'm saying. From everything we know about Chris Drury, from everything we know, from all the moves he's made before, if you bring up the Pavel Buchnevich trade.
It was the first week on the job. You've all had bad first weeks on the job.
But again, you have to take into consideration, Drury thought he was doing two things at once. And I get it. That's dumb. That's bad. That's a mistake. Never think that. Get the big fish, then make the secondary trade. But at least there's logic to why he did it. And the Goodrow contract, shut up. I'm sorry. Just shut the fuck up. Like, I don't care anymore. He doesn't do these moves. I just have a hard time. He traded multiple assets for guys like Vlad Tarasenko and Patrick Kane. He traded big assets to get Andrew Kopp. But you're convincing me that Chris Drury is going to trade significant assets and only come away with Wennberg and Frank Vatrano?
That seems like that is not making this team a difference maker. Like, that is that doesn't make the difference to win a Stanley Cup or not. The difference becomes, can Mika Zibanejad get hot? Period. End of story.
Yeah, and here's the, I think as much as I like Kako, I don't know what else Mika needs at this point. So, and again, getting another right winger allows you to use Kako in different ways that don't necessarily need to be on that top line. Kako was playing some of his best hockey on that line with Cooley and Brodzinski. Not so much because he was clicking with Cooley and Brodzinski, but because, as I said, every time he came out on the ice, he had the matchup advantage. He didn't have to worry about being a shutdown defenseman, and he didn't have to worry about going up against another team's top line. When Kako came out on the ice with Cooley and Brodzinski, he was the best player on the ice, and it was allowing his game to flourish and shine. And I understand the desire and want to move him up the lineup when that happens, because there's still this just giant fucking question mark on the Zibanejad line. And at times tonight, they looked really good. Kako had a chance towards the end of the game. Mika had a couple chances towards the end of the game. Kreider is looking a little bit more confident, I think, in the past couple of games. But there's still the problem, as it has been since day one, with that top line. It's going to come down to Mika Zibanejad first, Chris Kreider second, and then whatever the fuck is on the right wing third. And if I've been saying the Rangers need to acquire a right wing that could either shoulder the load or just allow Mika Zibanejad to play with more confidence, Kako should be able to be that guy. And if Mika's not going to do it, then we have a Mika Zibanejad problem, not a right wing problem.
We do have a Mika Zibanejad problem. And I think I saw the tweet earlier. It was like, all right, well, it was like a long list of people that have played with Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider, right? Like 15 different people. It's like, but no, Frank Vatrano again can do it. It's like, okay, well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's not. But at 5v5, those two have not been producing, period. End of story. I don't know if Frank fixes that. And do I go out and give up? Like, what do you think a legitimate Frank Vatrano trade is? Like, let's try and play that out.
A first and fun. Brett Berard?
Is that enough? Are they retaining?
If that's not enough, then you're just not going to come to an agreement. Like,
right, then what do we... And Brett Berard's been really good, by the way, in the NHL. Like, I'm not prospect hugging here. You have to give up to get. You got to give. That's how that works.
You got to give.
That's still a lot. Exactly. You got to give.
No, but... I'd give up a first if I had to, but I don't feel great about giving up a first. Like, he's having a good year, but we're still talking about Frank Vatrano. Sorry.
I like Frank Vatrano. He's good.
He's fun. He's funny. He's personable. He was good on the Rangers. He's having a great year, but
he can rip it.
I'm not treating Frank Vatrano like the Vlad Tarasenko transaction last year, man.
No,
he ain't that guy.
Vlad is, they're not even in the same stratosphere. That's not fair. And I know Vlad has had a tough year. He's in Ottawa, guys. He's in Ottawa. It's different. Everything's different in Ottawa.
Man, it's really tough. Have we talked too much about Vatrano where we haven't thought of what the other options could possibly be?
We have some. I mean, Duclair is someone we've talked about.
I know. I think Jacob Silverberg's having a better year, at least in terms of all-around impact on the ice, than Frank Vatrano. And for some reason, we just haven't talked about Silverberg.
Dude, I haven't even heard one whisper.
Haven't heard
Not
a thing.
Not one. Not one.
But that honestly makes me feel a little confident because, again, Drury works in the shadows. Like, the more I keep hearing Frank Vatrano, the more I feel like it's not happening.
I think you could be right. The two names we've heard the most, period, and you could say we don't have any sources, whatever you want to say, but we talk to a lot of people. Wennberg and Vatrano have come up the most. Novak didn't come up until Emily Kappel came on the show last week. Like, when was the first time you heard about Novak being of interest to the New York Rangers?
I connected to the Rangers directly, rarely. People who would know, I heard them say things along the lines of, man, Novak would look good on the Rangers. But
right.
Never did I hear someone say the Rangers were interested in Novak.
And all of a sudden, he was the top target, and then he was taken off. But this is one of those situations where I think we came on the show, I don't know, back in, let's just say November, December, and people were asking, like, who's your trade deadline? It's going to be like a guy you've never heard of. And the answer was Novak until it wasn't. And some people have heard of Novak, of course, but it's like that wasn't on anybody's trades list. I didn't get any replies that said, this is the guy I want. None, zero, zilch. And this is why maybe Drury works in the shadows and does trade for a guy you and I haven't mentioned, or maybe Vince hasn't mentioned, or anybody. I'm not sure who that is. He's going to be doing his due diligence. He clearly is with the call from Buffalo earlier. No surprise, no shock there. GM does his job, right?
Yeah, and again, to emphasize, we had not heard shit about Tuck until today, and we heard about it and it was already over because the Sabres rightly said no, fuck off, we'd like to keep
him. Doing his job, he's calling about good players and saying, hey, can I get your good player that's under a good contract? That's his job.
I know, and that's the thing about this deadline, and I was talking about this a little bit on our Discord outside of our insiders channel, which what? I visit and you don't.
I don't.
This deadline stinks, man. Gensel's probably going to get moved, and he's a great player. And I'm going to be pissed, by the way, if he goes to the Hurricanes. By the way, we dodged a fucking bullet with the Canucks extending Pedersen. You know what I would not have liked? Elias Pedersen in our division, not on the Rangers.
Woo! We dodged a bullet, my friend.
Fucking bullet, man.
If he wasn't a Ranger, god damn, that would have been bad.
If he went to the Canes, I'd be fucking pissed.
Oh, no, dude, it'd be over. I'd be miserable.
I'd be fucking upset. I love unhappy.
Pedersen. One of my favorite hockey players. Love watching him. One of the guys I actually go out of the way to watch the highlights in the mornings. He's amazing.
Yeah. After Gensel... Honest to God question. I'll say Gensel and Hanifin are probably one number one and number two. Who the fuck's the third best player that's getting traded at this deadline?
I think there's another right winger I'm probably missing. It's not Vlad, though. It's definitely not Vlad. Vlad will get traded. It's not him.
Vlad might be the third biggest name, but he's not the third best player.
That is true. It's not Frank, is it? It can't be Frank.
This is my point, though. Like, this can't. Is just a bad deadline. And I think at some point, it's difficult because if you're the New York Rangers, you understand you need to add pieces. Maybe not world beaters, maybe not superstar impact players, but they are players short. And Wennberg will go I won't say a long way, but that builds you a longer runway, Wennberg does. But after that, like, to trade, again, Lord knows, I would trade a first-round pick for fucking used butter. I just don't care about them. I think they're overrated. I think people pearl clutch too much when it comes to first round ambiguous, unassigned number draft picks on teams that have aspirations to be, again, one of the final four teams remaining in the dance, which means that pick is no sooner than number 28. Ain't that great of a pick. You got like a 15% chance of that pick being an NHL regular. I'm not even talking star. I'm talking guy
third liner,
that has
maybe
7-year career. Okay.
Hey, I want to go back to your point about best players available. Are you considering Eberle available or no?
I don't. The Kraken would have benched him too. Would they have not? They play tonight. They play tomorrow. And then they have another game against the Jets this weekend.
Are you considering Buchnevich available?
No, because I whatever package the Blues think they can get for him today, they'll get in the summer.
After that, I'm looking and I'm just like, Riley Smith?
He's bad, dude. He's having an awful year and he's under contract for $5 million next year.
Yeah, that's really bad. Cannot do that. I don't know who else it would be. I know the Rangers aren't really interested in Henrique or the other way around. But and Larry reported that as well today.
I know, but like we're at the point where Tyler Toffoli might honest to God be the third best player available if the Devils truly do decide to move on from him, which they probably should.
You trying to get Colin Blackwell back, bro? You trying to get back on the Blackwell?
I would add Blackwell if that this is so hard. If the Rangers' only big move is Wennberg, do you think that's enough?
No.
I don't think here's my other thing is if Wennberg's the big move, I both don't think it's enough, but I also think that's okay. Does that make sense?
It does. I can't, this makes no sense that we're about to say this, but it is true. That makes perfect sense. It's not enough at all, and we should be going more all in, but I also love this team and I don't want to touch it.
But I also just to say to be going more all in, it's like, I agree, but that player doesn't exist.
Right. If there was a more all in, we would do it.
Yes, because Gensel's not a realistic option for the New York Rangers, especially if the Penguins stick true to saying we don't want draft picks. We need human beings right now. So the Rangers, you can like Othman as much as you want. You can like Berard as much as you want. You don't have the guns to get Jake Gensel. And that's before you even take into consideration whether the Penguins, one, would help a team in the Metro, and two, eat money for a team in the Metro.
They wouldn't. They would not.
I don't know. I think they're going to
get up. Dubas, like, he doesn't care, right? He doesn't care.
He doesn't strike me as a guy who gives a fuck. I just think the Carolina Hurricanes are going to pay a haul. Just warm bodies to give them. It's going to annoy me.
And then they're going to try to extend him, and it's going to be awful?
Maybe. I don't know. Gensel on an extension with the Canes doesn't bother me nearly as much as Pettersson.
Well, Pettersson being here, I would just want to throw myself off a cliff.
Gensel is a very, 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 very good hockey player, but when I see Jake Gensel on the score sheet, he's kind of like if Max Pacioretty is a millennial, Jake Gensel is not quite Gen Z, but not quite millennial. You know what I mean? He's like,
I get you.
He's whatever his era's Max Pacioretty is. Where I see the name on the score sheet, I was like, oh, I might have to worry about Pacioretty tonight. And then at the same time, he could easily go scoreless, and I don't see him once and think about him at all.
Should we do the Lindy Ruff conversation?
Oh, I just think it's great that we're not going to get yelled at if we laugh a little bit about it.
Right, I could laugh a little.
Yeah.
Look, I'm kind of more sad than I am happy. Obviously, I was happy when he left the Rangers. I think they waited way too long to fire that guy. Not that we're pro-Devils on this situation. They're a disaster, the Devils. They have so much talent. They have every right to be in this. They were the favorites by far, other than Carolina, to win this division. Every single statistic said they would be good. They've had the absolute year from hell. Some of their talent's not performing. Their defensemen are hurt. And Lindy Ruff just showed no resilience at all. And now we have to hope and pray that the Penguins don't fire Sullivan at the end of the season. And he goes to the Devils, because that would make me sick.
That would not be great. But I'm not going to defend Lindy Ruff. Okay, especially when you consider the quotes he's been giving for the past, 5 weeks? Blaming anybody but himself, essentially?
The media is putting too much pressure on the power play quote.
Should have been fired immediately. That's
one of the most pathetic quotes I've ever seen. hold on, Greg, I have to keep going here. I'm so sorry. One of the most pathetic quotes I've ever seen. They have two beat reporters. I believe it is Amanda and Ryan Novo. And that is fucking it.
Yeah, and Amanda works for the team.
Yes,
dude. He's employed by the Devils.
Yes, and to say that you're putting too much pressure on the power play, which has elite, like, let's not beat around the bush here, elite talent, and it is not going well. Yes, you and I can crap on the New York Rangers power play. We are an independent media podcast where we just, look, they were number one in the league in the first 30 games, in the last 26, they're 27th or whatever it is, the Rangers.
They had two power play goals tonight, man.
Hey, one of them was second power play. Shout out to Will Cooley.
It was like third power play. They set out a normal line, being like, "Well, this power play is over," and then he accidentally scored with 1 second left.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, point being, we can slander them for Lindy to come out and say, "Hey, you guys are putting, you're the problem." Pathetic, bro. Absolutely. One of the worst quotes I've ever heard. Next to the Brody Wanamaker and Zach Wheeler quote. Unbelievable.
The moment he said that quote, it triggered something deep into my body. Go back. I'm taking you back, Ryan. Summer of 2009. I am interning at MSG.
Mm-hmm. Crazy that you did that.
fucking wild. Wonder why they hate us.
Yeah, so weird.
Interning at MSG. In the little cubby hole that the interns would sit in, there'd be a row of TVs, and on every TV was every MSG, MSG2, whatever it was called back then, Yes, SNY, ESPN. That was on these five TVs. It was great. Great setup. I remember this day vividly, and I'm going to bring this home with Lindy Ruff. The Mets were in free fall, as they are one to be at any point in time in my life, but Omar Minaya was holding a press conference to address an injured player, or why the season was going belly up. And he started the press conference normal. And then around halfway through the press conference, Adam Rubin, who was a reporter for ESPN, Omar Minaya goes, "Adam, why do you write negative stuff about this team when you are propositioning for a job every chance you can get in player development?" And I just remember watching that press conference being like, holy shit, I'm watching someone get fired right before my eyes. Omar is not going to survive this press conference. He's gone. And you know what, Ryan? He fucking was. He was out almost immediately. And when Lindy Ruff said, "The media is why the power play is struggling," I was like, oh my God, he killed himself. That's it. It's over. And those are the only two moments in my life where I watched something happen on the TV. And in real time, I went, oh, this is what it's like to get fired publicly.
Dude, we're both adults at this point. We've done this podcast for a long time. How hard is it to say, hey, it's not working. It's kind of on me. It's my fault. I need to figure this out. That's all you have to say.
I mean, well,
that's your job, actually.
If Gerard Gallant ever had that, he'd probably still be coaching the New York Rangers.
So.
No, but here's the other thing. Again, I'm not defending Lindy Ruff, but to consider for a second, Dougie Hamilton's been out almost the entire year. That's a huge loss. Jack Hughes missed a shitload of time. Timo Meyer's been hurt and ineffective ever since coming back. They are playing maybe one of the youngest defensive cores in the league. Not easy, okay? Not everyone can just be Adam Fox, slide into a lineup, and be great.
Yeah, think whatever you want about Nemec and his profile status as a tier one player.
Not even talking about him, Luke Hughes. Like, Luke Hughes just goes through tough days because he's a rookie defenseman in this league. And two, Ryan, at some point, you have to turn the attention to Fitzgerald and say, buddy, you've been a goaltender short since August. And it cannot be a surprise to you that your goalies have been a problem all year long. And then you get into a pissing contest with the Flames over how much money they are going to retain on Jacob Markstrom, where the Flames straight up tell you, fine, fuck you, we're not trading him.
Adam, did you see the report about that today?
Oh, that they're not giving up?
Oh, no, not that they're giving up, but the Flames ownership killed the deal. So
yeah, probably because they're like, you want me to pay him for how long? Fuck you. We'll just keep him and pay him.
Yeah, Flames ownership was like, no, it's actually a good goalie, so why we actually want to sell tickets? So
yeah, no,
what's up?
Listen, Lindy Ruff is a bad coach, but at some point, the lack of a goalie being in New Jersey is not Lindy Ruff's fault. That's not on him. And that's if they had any semblance of a goaltender, Ryan, they'd be a better team.
Dude, if they signed Jonathan Quick, they would be in a playoff spot.
Well, we don't know, because then he wouldn't have had Benoit Allaire to fix him.
That's totally fair. By the way, we've gone 37 minutes and we haven't talked about how the Rangers extended Quick.
Okay, great. Now we've talked about it.
Great.
It's a one-year deal that's completely variable. Like, it's the most harmless contract that's ever existed in all of mankind.
He's earned it.
He's earned it. He's been great. He's been wonderful. And when Igor was going through that doldrums, hard to imagine where the Rangers would have been if Quick wasn't a stabilizing force.
Not in first place, that's for sure, but they still are.
I mean, they might still be in first place. This division stinks.
It sucks. It's really bad. Yeah. I was going through, I did like early morning texting with Maddie Jack, because that's what we do, right? Really talk about the Rangers and teams we're scared of at like 7 a.m.
I like how you, you text him early in the morning. I hire people to steal his car.
That's we don't talk about that. It's illegal. I was like, hey, man, the teams that actually scare me right now in the East, it's like nobody in the Metro, the Maple Leafs, and the Panthers.
The Maple Leafs, honest to God, don't scare me.
That, the curse is too strong.
They will score their goals, but I'm just not going to be upset about Joseph Woll in goal. Or
I think we'll figure
Samsonov.
It out.
Not going to happen.
The Panthers are scary. I think they're the scariest team in the East, and I don't think it's particularly close. And I will say the Rangers played them extremely well tonight. We didn't get a chance to talk about the game a lot. We've gone for 40 minutes, but like Miller had an awesome game. A lot of people had great games, and we hung with the Panthers the whole time. There was a total missed hooking call on Brodzinski that Laviolette's going on and on about now in the press conference. But I thought we hung with the Panthers.
It was a 50-50 game. Like, yeah. Again, Barkov made one of the best individual plays I've ever seen in my entire life to set up that second goal. Like,
unbelievable.
What are you going to do? That's just the Panthers very quietly have a lot of star power. At the same time, the Rangers play them well. They've had games where they've no-showed them. I think the Rangers could have easily played better hockey tonight. And if they make a couple moves before the trade deadline, they will be a more balanced team. I'll stop short of saying markedly better, but definitely more balanced, where I don't feel like the Rangers will ever be losing a line battle against a team like the Florida Panthers. The difference in a game like tonight is the Panthers got star performances from Sam Reinhart and Sasha Barkov, and the Rangers are still waiting for Mika Zibanejad to do that.
And the other thing is Igor's soft goal. That was it.
Yeah, and that shit, that's just them the breaks. Like, I don't know.
It was freaky. Like, Igor has been electric the last 9 games. He's been awesome. And the 2 goals that he let in before that freak goal were legitimate goals. Awesome. Him letting in that one, I have no excuses. That's just a brain fart moment.
We've all had them.
Yep. I'm not going to. But also, the Rangers are still in first place in the Metro, and it's not changing. Do you want to wrap on the deadline one more time? Because I just don't even know. I really don't know where this team goes.
Yeah, I mean, this is the odd deadline where I feel very confident I know what the Rangers need in terms of the spots in the lineup that are missing. But, like, the first deadline they started buying again 2 years ago with Kopp, most notably, but also Vetrano. And they added a defenseman that year, right? Braun, Mika? Justin Braun.
Oh, it's Justin Braun. Yeah. Justin Braun, legend, yeah.
Yeah, man, remember Justin Braun? That team, I feel like we weren't even sure where the Rangers were going to add, whether it was going to be a center, whether it was going to be a winger, whether it was going to be a left-handed D, a right-handed D, how many players they were going to add. We didn't know. And then they just started adding players. We're like, this is great. Last year, it was clear they needed fucking something. And they got it with Mikula and with Tarasenko. And then Patrick Kane forced his ass back over here too. But this year, so clearly it's obvious. Last year, we just kept saying they need a top 6 forward and they need another defenseman. That's what we said. And they got Tarasenko and Mikula and then Tyler Mott, because why not? This year, they so clearly have an opening next to Mika Zibanejad. They so clearly have an opening on top of that in their bottom 6. These are the 2 obvious areas where the Rangers, whether the rumors coming out that they might be in the market for a defenseman are some of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I actually want to talk about this because I thought this was weird too. Part of me thinks this is a chance that they're looking to trade Jones. Do you think that's weird?
But even if they trade Jones, I still think the only way trading Jones would create a problem in terms of depth for the Rangers is if they also trade Robertson. Because think of the defenseman in Hartford right now. If one guy comes out of the lineup, we feel great about putting Jones in. Okay, so theoretically say he's off the team. Mackey has played well when he's come up. Hollowell is having one of the best seasons a defenseman in Hartford has had in a very long time. They still have organizational trust in Matt Robertson. That's, they're three deep in Hartford. They've never been three deep in Hartford.
No, this is it.
Like, so it's, it is a little strange. And honestly, they like, Scanlon's doing something that they like. They just extended him to. So you could make an argument that they are four deep in Hartford. So for them to say that they need to add a depth defenseman, to me, that just means they're trading two of those four. And then fine, I guess, if you want to add, I don't even know. You could just pick someone up off waivers at this point.
Yeah, I just feel like that to me, that signals that, hey, Jones can be traded for the right piece. Maybe that's people still maybe overvaluing Jones. I think Jones's value has gone down just because he's not a prospect anymore.
And he's also not playing hockey.
Correct.
It's hard to raise your stock if you're not physically playing hockey.
Which he's only played, like, what, 12 games this year or something like that?
Is it even that something many?
Low? No, I might be lower. I don't have the stats up in front of me, but it could be. It absolutely could be.
But yeah, like, if Jones is the big piece that you have to sacrifice for Wennberg, you do it every day.
Yep, you do. And last part on this, I saw Valiquette was just talking about, like, hey, you have to go all in this year. And, like, I agree with him. It's open.
I just don't know what...
that?
I don't,
who? For who?
Yeah, I don't... I just don't... Like, I'm not being coy, and I'm not being funny. Like, what the fuck is all in this year? If all in means I have to trade a first, a second, and two prospects for Alex Wennberg and Frank Vetrano, I'm not going to feel like I went all in. I'm just going to feel like I traded a lot of things.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break, and we will come back and answer some five-star questions for the people. But first, an ad break, 45 minutes of this podcast. Transition. Hey, yo, I'm here to tell you about the number one ticketing app and the official ticket sponsor of the Blue Shirts Breakaway. That's right, it's TickPick. If you want to go to a game, especially as the playoffs are ramping up, you're going to want to see them probably on a couple of these Saturday nights. I believe they play every Saturday night in March. Wherever you're going, seeing them away or at home, use TickPick. You can track the ticket prices, get last-minute tickets. You can even use the code BLUESHIRTS15 when you check out to get $15 off any order over $99 for any account one time with TickPick. And look, I've been using TickPick forever. I talk about it every single week on this show. I'm using it to go to WrestleMania. I've used it to go to baseball games. I use it to go to Ranger games. They've actually sponsored a meetup where we met 50 people. TickPick are the good people. We love working with them. And honestly, the best part about it is when you check out, there's no fees. That's right. The price you see is the price you get. And that's what I love about using TickPick. They're not trying to trick me like some of these other ticketing apps. So use promo code BLUESHIRTS15 on checkout. Get $15 off your order over $99 to go to see the Rangers or any other live ticketing event on TickPick. Tell them we sent you. Back to the show. And we're back.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Back. All right, we're the guests.
Hey, we did it. Well, you know what's your question? Let's take people behind the curtain. First of all, Fitz, I know you're listening. Fuck you. Happy birthday to your sister.
Because Fitz was busy today?
Well, Fitz first said he was in. And then 24 hours later, the Celtics were losing 82-38 at halftime. I'm sorry. The Warriors were losing to the Celtics 82-38 at halftime. And suddenly Fitz was like, ah, geez, Greg, I feel a little, I forgot I had plans. And he said he couldn't come on the pod anymore.
Pretty mysterious.
It's really funny how that works. Mm-hmm. And then, we kept telling ourselves, we're not going to book a guest because I'm sure they'll make a trade. So we'll just wait until they make the trade, and then we'll find someone connected to the team that we can talk to. Turns out, here we are.
March 8th at 2 p.m. and they'll make two trades. There you go. So
do you think they'll take the full week? I don't think they're taking the full week.
No, I think they get it done by Wednesday or Thursday.
The Kraken, if Wennberg has to move, I think tomorrow, because the Kraken have a back-to-back. They're in Winnipeg, and then they have another game later in the week. They're not going to want to keep scratching Wennberg all the way to Friday. They need a player to come up.
Yeah, they do.
So Wennberg will be settled before. I think as people are listening to this tomorrow, by 2 o'clock tomorrow, Wennberg will be settled. Is where I'll plant my flag. Tuesday.
Interesting. And really, what I've heard is it's between Boston and the Rangers. And I think Boston is likely trading their goalie. So stay tuned. Everybody.
I don't think they are. I think that was much ado about nothing.
I've heard some things. Mm. Put it that way. All right, we'll see. Could be nothing. Could be not. Maybe he's pooping.
He was there. He did the post-game hug. He was there the whole time.
All right. This is a 5-star question, so we're going to read them on the show. If you want to leave a 5-star, if you want to leave a 5-star question for us to read, you can go to our Patreon, subscribe, go to our Discord 5-star question channel. We read them on the show every week. That's what we do. This is from Von God 444. What do the Rangers have to do this season to be named successful one for you guys? Oh, this is what we answered on Picks 11.
Picks 11.
I understand the Rangers have a brand new head coach. Sometimes it could take 2 to 3 seasons for that style of work. But I see this team as being classified as successful to make the Cup Finals. They have to be one of the Final Four. I mean, they should win a Cup, but that's super unfair.
Yeah, what I'll just keep asking people is, all things considered, when you look at not only the Metropolitan Division, but the East as a whole, if the New York Rangers aren't one of the final two Eastern Conference teams remaining, are you honestly going to look back at this season and be like, yeah, it was a pretty good year? You're just not going to.
No. It's Eastern Conference final.
At minimum. And even then, like, if the Rangers get immediately swept out of the Eastern Conference final, I don't think I'll think positively about the season.
Yeah. I feel bad for this next person because I know how this is going to go. This is from Ranger Gooner. After listening to today's pod, is it not glaringly obvious that Pavel Buchnevich has to be our number one trade target?
Jesus fucking Christ.
That's what I said. At first, maybe a second Zach Jones or some other prospect never gets him.
I'm sorry, what's the trade package? Can you repeat that one for me?
A first, maybe a second Zach Jones and some other prospect.
Let me say this pretty clearly, just so everyone understands what you're actually talking about when you want to give a Pavel Buchnevich trade. If you are not including Gabe Perreault in the trade, you're not actually making a trade offer. It's not happening.
Correct. They will gladly hold on to him.
And if you want to keep Perreault out of the deal, it's a minimum of 2 firsts, a minimum of Othman, and then you'd probably have to trade a piece to get another piece from a different team to then put in a Buchnevich trade. The Rangers, the Blues, know what they have. And again, Chris Drury thought he had Jack Eichel.
Yeah, he did.
That's the problem here. A first, maybe a second, Zach Jones. I too wish that Scotland had an actual Willy Wonka theme park.
Ranger Gruner, I appreciate your question, though. This is from Fill Me Up Daddy. Would you feel comfortable with this team if Drury decided the asking pieces were too high, so he just settled on 2 or 3 extra skaters instead of name brands and rolled with this lineup to the playoffs?
Who are the name brands?
We've kind of go over this. Like, who are the names?
Yeah, I think if the Rangers don't add anybody, I think their player's short. I think if you add Wennberg, you can get there simply by having an able-bodied bottom sixer that I feel confident about that, again, can move up and down your lineup. But if the Rangers just say, fuck it, we're not adding anybody, no, I think they're men short. Unless they truly, honest to God, want to put Othman or Berard in a situation that frankly is unfair to either player.
Agreed. This is from Tony G 5144, someone I have not seen in the insider chat before, but is an insider. Greg, did you read Brooksy's most recent article maligning Mika's lack of production? Do you feel vindicated? Yeah.
You know, Ethan's been doing this really fun bit on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. It's been awesome.
Yeah, and I get that Mika has a lot of points this year, but man, it just doesn't feel right. I'm sorry, Ethan, who will never listen to this, so it's fine.
No, never. This is from Mantha Claus is coming to town. At what point do you take your medicine and admit that right now Laff is one of our three most offensively dynamic players, and he absolutely needs to take Mika's spot on the top power play, at least temporarily? Every minute he's not getting top power play minutes or minute, we're not utilizing this roster to its fullest extent. I've kind of been on this train for like a couple weeks now. I think we had a whole segment about like, hey, maybe we give Mika a week or two off.
Well, that first power play, the one that Cooley scored on accidentally or intentionally, accidentally sure. on purpose.
Yeah.
Power play two looked a lot better than power play one in that 2 minutes. They came on the power play one, couldn't set the zone, kept getting pushed back, let up a golden 2-on-1 opportunity going the other way. And power play two kind of controlled the puck and controlled the zone and had the best opportunities on goal while they were out there on the ice. Lafreniere had a really nice play on one of the power plays tonight as well.
He's been awesome the last couple weeks, man.
So good.
He's been so sick.
Do I take my medicine? It's tricky because on one hand, you need power play one to be power play one to make a deep run. I know that. And you're not going to fix Mika Zibanejad on the power play by not playing him on the power play. At the same time, you can only continue to do the same thing and expect different results for so long.
Definition of insanity.
Yeah.
This is from Eush22. I fucked that up for sure. This is posted prior to the Wenberg rumors heating up. I've seen what I consider to be an unfair amount of Kako slander on Twitter since he was reinstated on the Mika line. Personally, I think he's perfectly fine with moments of brilliance, even if the line doesn't have as much juice as Cooley and Broad's Kako line did. Without knowing the upcoming trades are going to be, is it silly to want to see a trial run of Cooley, Mika, and Kako? I want to see Kako get an extended run with Mika, but I don't think moving Kreider down would hurt the team. Mika's been the low man on that line. I don't think
Kreider's doing much to help him, frankly. Mostly because I think, also, did you chuckle when Sam was like, Mika's baby's here. He wants to impress him in front of the baby. And Joe's like, Mika's baby's always here. And I was like, you're talking about Kreider.
Yeah, he's talking about Kreider.
And then he tried to cover it up being like, the kid's always in the corner, Sam. And I'm like, you're talking about Chris. I know what you're fucking doing. Yeah,
he's absolutely talking about Chris.
We all know what you're saying. And that's fine, man. Yeah, Kreider encourages bad habits with Mika, I think. So even when Kreider's playing well, I think you need to strip Mika down and build him back up. But I don't know how you accomplish that. Because, again, the biggest problem we have with this Ranger team, and it's not really a problem, but it kind of is a problem, is that it's really hard to come up with a reason to break up Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere. Those three together.
It's impossible, actually.
Yeah.
I have no reason.
So if you're not breaking up Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere, then you don't really have bullets to break up Mika and Kreider. Because as much as we like Cooley because he's being asked to do a very specific thing, and he's doing that very specific thing really well. And I don't want to give him more responsibility. So the mechanism isn't in place to create a situation where, like, you can really blow up that, we'll call it top line, but in reality, it's the second line. And I do think it's funny, though, and you tell me if I'm off base with this, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody bends their back in a way to say something nice about VC looking a certain way with Mika and Kreider. And we went through a whole run where people were saying nice things about Brodzinski playing with Mika and Kreider. And while we were all saying that Wheeler wasn't ideal playing with Mika and Kreider, it felt like something that was accepted temporarily. Whereas every time Kako comes up, it's like, why does this guy stink?
It's just because he's picked second overall. That's exactly
that's it.
If he was picked in the second round, Kako would be the fan favorite forever.
Yeah. And also, Kako goes up to that top line, continues to do the thing that Kako does well. The reason why it doesn't translate on that line is not because of Kako. Because of the guy in the middle. It's been that way all year.
Kako needs to hit the net, put it that way. But otherwise, he's done what he's supposed to do. I thought he played a pretty good game tonight, to be honest.
I thought he's looked fine since being put in the role.
Agreed. This is a little off topic, but we'll do it. This is from Cole. What's better, New York chopped cheese or Philly cheesesteak? It's Philly cheesesteak, but it's not like a competition. It's like, if you're in New York, you're not getting chopped cheese. There's so many better options, dude. Like, that's not the problem.
Am I supposed to associate New York chopped cheese as the thing to get New York?
No, you're in New York, you're getting pizza or bagels or like stuff that's or any cuisine you would ever want. It's fucking awesome.
Or just like any deli meat.
Yeah, any deli, any diner. Dude, there's so much good food in New York. It's not close. It's
chopped cheese. I would not. If I'm in New York City, I'm never thinking to myself, you know what,
I can really go for? It's not even in my top 25, and I might not be in my top 100.
I don't think it's on my list.
I don't think it makes the
list. It's GRC Plus would be really low.
I think you have to read this next name.
What?
I can't tell. The name is Juba98.
What? Okay. Hold on. Let's evaluate that sentence right there.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think you can't say the word Jew, Ryan?
It feels wrong for me.
I don't like that you think it feels wrong for you.
It just feels offensive for me to say.
Why?
I don't know.
Let's investigate this. We're going to break this down. We got another 50 minutes just on this topic.
Is that true?
Why? It's just, it. What? Why?
It just feels offensive for me. I don't know.
I don't like that. No. Okay.
I don't want to offend anybody. That's all. That's as far as I go. That's it.
It's his name.
That's true. That's why I said it, didn't I? I said his name's Juba98. It's a play on Truba.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
And probably his birthday.
All right. I see. Anyway. So if his name was Anglo-Saxon white European male, you would have been fine with it?
I guess I would say it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Correct. Jesus Christ.
You're making a good point. If the Devils go into sell mode, do you see the Rangers potentially thinking or taking a run at Toffoli?
I would like
incredibly
them to.
The Devils aren't going to trade with the Rangers, right?
I mean, they have in the past. Happen. We're old enough to
Michael Grabner trade.
We did a whole episode on the Michael Grabner trade.
But it's a good trade, wasn't it?
For the Rangers,
they got a second round pick.
Second round pick, and remember Igor Rykov?
Woo! Oh, defenseman that did not make it.
Yeah,
went right back
almost
to the KHL.
God, it's like. Trade for prospects, and sometimes it just doesn't fucking work
out. Good call
out.
There, by the way, with the Rykov pull.
Yeah,
nice.
I know. I don't know. That name just lives rent-free in my head for some reason.
I met Igor Rykov. Is that weird?
Yeah, but if his name was Juba Rykov, you would have a fucking problem with him.
Okay, I was just trying to be sensitive to people, okay? I'm trying to do the right thing.
God damn it.
I wasn't a shot at you.
Yeah. It's a shot at me that you felt uncomfortable saying it. That's the shot.
I appreciate you empowering me.
Yeah, fucking A, man. if I'm the Devils, you did the one thing, which was fire Ruff. I just don't know. You know who I really love the Rangers again? They're never going to get fucking Igor Sharangovich, man.
Like, yeah, never happened.
I was one of the few people when that trade went, I don't mean to pat myself on the back. That sounded so fucking smug and annoying. And I apologize for everyone. Yeah.
At least you caught
but
it.
But when that trade happened, everyone was like, wow, what a trade for the Devils. And I was like, I really like Sharangovich, man. That guy's a player. He's kind of exactly what the Rangers need. And they're not going to fucking get him because I don't think the Flames are that dumb. But I'm just putting it out there, Ryan, that if by some fucking miracle the Rangers walk away, not with Tyler Toffoli, but Igor Sharangovich, goddamn, Drury, I will build the statue.
I've been so happy with everything Drury's done since his first week that it's unbelievable. So I'm just waiting to be surprised, but I just don't have hope. I think it's kind of where I'm at. So tag to Seamus. Let's be unnecessarily conspiratorial. You just wanted me to say that. Why have three coaches refused to break up Kreider and Mika Zibanejad from the top two D pairs? And the top two D
pairs. Well, now, let's be fair here, if we're being fair. There was a stretch where Gallant did. There was a stretch last year where Kreider was playing with Trocheck.
Yeah, and actually that line was pretty cool. It was nice.
Yeah, wasn't there a stretch there where it was Panarin, Mika, and Kane? Wasn't that like a line we were running out for a while? So
that's correct.
Let's not say that we didn't. And I vividly have memories of really liking Kreider playing with Trocheck and thinking
it was
that
good. Yes,
yeah, it added spice as like a really aggressive forechecking third line because I think the kids were still was the line because Kako was out
Boys
injured.
Men,
I
Boys
still
the men
think
were still around.
Well, no, he but I think around. Kako was hurt, so I think one line was Lafreniere, Hedl, Tarasenko, and I think the other line was like Kreider, Trocheck, VC.
That sounds right. It was definitely VC.
Either way, this is not a podcast that gives Jordan Gallant credit for anything, but fair, there was a stretch last year where Kreider and Mika weren't playing together, and Kreider was playing damn well.
Okay. Yeah. Why did they refuse to break them up? Look, I think there's been the boyfriend theory. We've talked about it forever. I just don't think they have a reason to play Mika Zibanejad somewhere else. They've tried all these other things. It's not like they've worked either. But when you see Kreider and Mika Zibanejad play on the penalty kill or on the power play, it's amazing. You're like, this has to work in 5v5. It has to.
Well,
and it doesn't.
To me, we talked about this not too long ago on this here episode of this podcast. If Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere was not working as well as it was working, I promise you Laviolette is a guy that would have tried other things with Mika. But since you don't want to break up those three players, he just doesn't have options to take Kreider off that line because I don't think he wants Cooley playing that role. And he definitely doesn't want Edstrom playing that role. So, like, if you move Kreider down, that's great and good. But if you're not moving Cooley up, you're kind of out of people to move up.
I like this next question. It's from Swinegarp. Why not pay up and trade for a player who has term beyond this year on the contract? If he doesn't fit under the cap going forward, won't they be able to trade him away in the offseason for a relatively similar price? Here's why they can't do that. Well, first of all, guys with term aren't up for trade. Term in the NHL is everything because you can control guys for 8 years. And usually either that's a really good thing or it's a really, really, really bad thing. Well, it's one of the two. Second, teams know you have to trade the guy away and are going to lowball you, like to the point where you lost all the value. So you probably paid a premium to bring this guy in who still has term, and then you have to give him away for much, much less because other teams know that you have to trade him.
Yeah, and usually the term that does get traded is about 2 years. The value that's lost as soon as you don't have a player for multiple playoff runs and would only have him for a single playoff run is monumental. So say, for example, they wanted Frank, because I'm sure this is a Frank-related question. If the Rangers acquire Frank and they get him for this playoff and next playoff in theory, but then this playoff doesn't go well and the Rangers want to move on from Frank, this is like the inverse of the NBA, where there's nothing more valuable in the NBA than an expiring contract because it's just a player with a salary cap number that you can then plug and play into every different move. Like, this is how Evan Fournier went from being the worst player in the NBA to the most valuable trade chip for the Knicks in less than 6 months, simply because he was down to the final year of his contract. Yeah. In hockey, if you're not getting a player for multiple playoffs, you're just not going to get back what you want. And there's also the mindset of, in the summertime, why settle for a Frank Vetrano trade when you can convince yourself that you can find the next Frank Vetrano somewhere else? Or the biggest problem is the second your draft pick has a number assigned to it, you now don't want to trade it. Like, you can trade a second round pick when you don't know exactly where it's going to fall. As soon as it becomes the 52nd overall pick, you start asking yourself questions. Do I really want to trade the 52nd pick for Frank Vetrano? Is that really what I want to do? Is that going to make this team significantly better? Or can I convince myself that the player I'm going to draft with this draft pick that has a number assigned to it and a value, and I can start attaching names to what I think this draft pick is going to be, shouldn't I just take that player? Like, GMs love drafting prospects. You know why? Because all of them are great until they're not. But in the moment, they're great.
The second you draft them, it's awesome. Then quickly, they either become much, much better or much, much worse very quickly.
Yep.
Very quickly. This is from Panarin at Android. It's also about Booch. But on Vince's pod, New Ice City, I'll plug that for him, pod last week, when discussing a possible Booch trade, he said it was unlikely primarily due to there being, quote-unquote, no love lost between the parties. Have your sources ever hinted or explained the issues between the front office and Booch? He was a solid player, seemed popular with teammates. It was one of the few to get aggressive with the Caps after the Panarin-Wilson thing. Why would they have a problem with Booch? Was it the weird car accident thing with Shesterkin?
From what I've heard, I don't think Drury has a problem with Booch. I don't think it's far-fetched to say that Booch has a problem with Drury.
Yeah, I don't think it's far-fetched at all.
Yeah, so do you want to trade all those assets you would have to trade to get the player, to then get a player that kind of hates you?
I will also say this, that there's a lot of, this is very popular in Boston sports, where you trade a player and then all of a sudden some bad stories come out.
The notebook
quickly.
Dump.
Yes.
Oh, no, exactly. Sorry. The Brian Curtis calls this the, oh, now you tell us story?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So Booch left, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, there was, you know, the coaching staff didn't really love him, all that stuff. But it's they traded him for a second round pick, guys. Like, then that was really it. So they were, of course they were gonna, those stuff, that stuff was going to leak. But I would say the Booch probably doesn't like the Rangers, similar to how like Zuccarello, not exactly the biggest fan of the Rangers these days.
And why would he be?
Why would he be? He wanted to stay here. He loved it. He took a discount. He took less money to stay. He loved being a Ranger. And then when it came time to pay him, they were like, you got to get out of here. And that was it.
Yeah, but just to put a bow on it, I don't have any reason to believe that Drury thinks Pavel Buchnevich is a bad player. I just...
Agreed.
I think Drury was very excited to be the GM and did not consider the player's feelings when dealing him.
Period. End of story. This is last questions from Allie. Oh, one more question from Aiden. Aiden says, going to my first Ranger game, MSG Islanders in April. What's the best food places to check out at MSG my first time? Dude, it's New York City. There's a million places.
I don't know if he's talking about in stadium. Do you think?
Places to check out for my first time at MSG. What are the best food and places?
You know what place you should check out? T-Squared Social. Specifically...
March 9th.
On March 9th, this Saturday, you should check out the food options there. Yeah, it is this fucking Saturday. You want to know what I'm doing on March 8th, Ryan, besides probably podcasting with your dumbass?
What's that?
I am going to see Anything Goes at Shen in the Capital Region with my boss. So that should be great.
Amazing you say this, because last question from Allie. This is for Greg. If the Rangers' current roster decided to put on a musical, what would it be, and why is it Newsies?
Thank you. It's not Newsies. This is very important. We should get down to this. I think it's a chorus line. Here's why I think it's a chorus line.
Oh, my God.
What? Fuck you, all right? You asked the question. You knew this was coming.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, I haven't done the podcast with Jeannie yet. We're doing it tomorrow. We did see Oklahoma. That is the dumbest play I've ever seen in my life. It has no fucking point. It has no plot.
Oh, I know. The only thing I know about Oklahoma is, oh, Oklahoma, where the wind blows. That's as far as I go.
Yeah, by the way, that's the last song in Oklahoma, not the first. Did you know, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning is Oklahoma?
No.
Yeah, now I do.
Cool.
Here, can I just, before we explain why a chorus line is the perfect play for the New York Rangers, can I at least tell you how Oklahoma ends, okay?
Yes, please.
This is not a spoiler. This play's been out there since fucking Pearl Harbor got bombed, okay? By the way, Oklahoma was like, it became a hit in the 1940s specifically because Americans felt needed their morale to be boosted. And this very stupid play apparently boosted their morale. I literally at one point walked out of the auditorium with Gina, turned to her and asked her how we won World War II if this was the play that was boosting people's morales back then. Because of how fucking dumb it is. Here's the final stanza in Oklahoma. There's a wedding. Okay. The wedding involves a man who the entire play is being an asshole to a woman and a woman who's also kind of being an asshole to the man. They're doing the will they won't they thing, Ryan, but they're doing it in a way where they're both being douchebags. They're taking different people to dances. They're doing all these different things. And then suddenly, because the guy spends $50 on a fucking deli basket, she marries him. That's a fucking real thing. Anyway, we're at their wedding. These two douchebags who have been fucking nothing but assholes to each other this entire fucking play. At the wedding, her scorned lover, who is described as the more I think about it, I think a porn addict is the only way to describe him.
Excuse me? Hold on. All right, one second. Just before you continue, and again, I am patiently listening.
Sure.
What?
Yes.
Because you said this was a play to raise morale in the American spirit.
Absolutely. Correct? Yeah. And there's nothing more American than a loser sitting in a room looking at naked pictures of women. and not cool. being able to get the woman. And then, by the way, a lot of guns in this play, which I have to say, shocked that there were a lot of guns on a high school stage. I'm just putting that out there. Anyway.
Something I don't like about that.
No, at least 3 gunshots were fired in the process of this play. Anyway, ex-scorned porn-addicted lover, who was never a lover, and was just, again, a man being used by douchebag woman to make douchebag man more jealous. This poor porn addict was nothing but a pawn in this larger game.
I'm sorry, dude. This can't be Oklahoma.
This is Oklahoma. Ryan, we're not. I'm telling you, I'm landing this plane. Okay, shows up to the wedding, threatens douchebag husband, pulls out a gun to shoot douchebag husband shoots him instead. Okay. I was like, that's an interesting twist. Surely this will lead to something. Here's what it leads to, Ryan. They have a trial during the wedding. They don't leave the wedding.
They do a live law trial?
They have a federal marshal who just happened to be at the wedding, a judge who just happened to be at the wedding, and then this elderly aunt who apparently is just like the town crier. And we are doing the trial right here, right now. Needless to say, Ryan, the man is found not guilty because he acted in self-defense, and the federal marshal, who continues to say throughout this trial, this doesn't feel right. No shit, buddy. It's a trial during a wedding. Probably not the place to have it. Anyway, found not guilty. You would think, Ryan, that at some point there would be some reconciliation about the fact that this man just killed a man at his own wedding. Nope, we're just going right back into the wedding. We sing Oklahoma again. Curtain. That's it. That's how it ends.
What?
Again, I don't know how we won World War II. If this is what was getting our morale back up, I don't know how America was like, I just saw Oklahoma, now I'm going to survive in fucking okay. Bankstown.
My last point about this, it really has to be, there was no Twitter. There was no, like, newspapers were a thing. Imagine explaining this to your buddy in 1940. Hey, like you just told me for the first time on a fucking podcast in 2024.
Sure.
1940. Hey, you're going to love this play. You have to see it. Oh, what's it about? What? Yeah, I have to see this, dude. You got to see
There's a whole, of course it's a play. There's a B plot, right? And the B plot is this woman is a fucking whore. Like, there's no other way to describe it. She sings there's a whole song about, I meant to say this earlier. Man who gets killed at the wedding. There's a whole 10-minute sidebar where douchebag future husband goes to this guy's room and essentially sings an entire song about why the guy should kill himself. That's not an exaggeration, Ryan. He's like,
this is about the Great Depression, right? Because
he at one point says, this is a good hanging rope. That's what he says. As he's talking to his man, he's like, sturdy hook, you could really kill yourself if you hang yourself right here. And I'm like, what? Anyway, yeah, no, there's a whole B plot where I am all for women empowering their own bodies and doing whatever the fuck they want. Lord knows you girls deserve it. But she sings a whole song about how she just loves kissing men. And she doesn't mean kissing. That's all I'm saying.
Look, sounds like a good play. Do you want to answer Ellie's question?
Yeah, a chorus line.
Great, that's been Blue Shirt's Breakaway.
A chorus line's one of my favorite musicals. It's essentially a show where like a group of, man, I don't know the exact number. I want to say a dozen people are trying out for, it's like a play within a play where they are trying out for this new musical that's coming. And throughout the audition, you learn the stories of the people and why it's important to them. And I think that would be just delightful for the New York Rangers.
That's fun. That's at least fun.
Not Oklahoma. God, no. I am hook'em horns forever, Ryan. Like, anytime Texas and Oklahoma are going to play each other in any kind of sporting event, let's go Texas. Hook'em.
Anyway, come see Greg this Saturday at T-Squared, correct?
T-Squared Social. It's right near Grand Central. Doors will open around, I think doors will open whenever the fucking bar opens. I will get there around 6. So
very cool.
You guys can come hang with me. Yeah. And they are doing some pretty sweet giveaways. We are legally not allowed to tell you what they are,
That is correct, but they are sweet trusts.
Yeah, all you need to know is I don't want to give it to you. Is that true? Is that like, I think that's unfair.
Rather use them for myself.
Yeah, so. I'd rather not give it away, but we have no choice.
That is correct. So come stop by. I might host one 2 weeks later. Stay tuned for that. Who knows? And during March Madness, that would be insane. And happy trade deadline, everybody. Stay tuned for BSBOTs later this week. Whenever the trade happens, that'll be when we record. And yeah, follow me on Twitter at @OrionMead. Follow Greg at Bushers Break. And we'll talk to you guys later. Bye. It's the end of the show, so I'm going to thank the NHL Insider Club members for being part of something amazing and great every single week and keeping this show going. We have been. There's been a lot of interesting stuff going on in the Insider chat. If you're looking to join, honestly, today's probably the best day of the year you can. It's like when you're planting a tree. What was the best day to do it? Yesterday. The next best day is today. Same thing with joining the Insiders Club. That being said, I'm going to read, as 11:35 p.m. on a Monday currently, and I'm going to read 101 of their names and thank them all individually for supporting this podcast and making it possible every single week for us to do this stupid show about the New York Rangers and sometimes High School Musicals, which I really don't understand. I don't get it. Some people really like it. Not for me. I was in backstage crew. Adam Cohen, Adam Curtulo, Adam Keach, Alex Flynn, Alex Garter, Amber Cohensberger, Andrew Rauner, Anthony Gray, Anthony McCall. I said that wrong. Anthony Monturo, Anthony Tenegretta, April Arison, Ari's Anger. I really can't read tonight. My eyes are like closing. I still have to edit this thing. Ben Warners, Ben Weber, Bill Olson, Bill Rattel, Brandon Lackos, Brandon Magnum, Breck Ranger, Brian Doyle, Brian Gallagher, Brian Mallon, Brian Farrell, Cassidy, CJ. Oh, there's no Cassidy Roll Man. That's why I got tricked by myself. Cassidy, CJ, Chris Finelli, Chris Haru, CJ Stellwagen, Conrad Pudemis, Daniel Delaney, Daniel DeZan, David Narodin, Derek Siegel, David, I am so sorry. I am dying. Dennis Tice, TJ Banana Jazz, Dylan Fred Schneider, Eric Stagg, Gabe Valley, Garrett Reynes, Give Gardner a Cup, Greg, Gretzky McFly, Harrison Haskell, Hill, Vanilla, Hip89, Ian Ucker, Jack Bagley, Jack Grogan, Jake Keith, James Masker, Jerry Marquez, Jason Stumer, Jason Zabrowski, Joanna, John Hardesty, Johnny Shea, Johnny Thundercock, Joe Sirico, Josh Kestenbaum, Josh White, Chris from Florida, Chris Kreider Die, Christoph Berg, Lee Plummer, Leszek Gronowski, Lou Giordano, Matthew Goodwin, Matthew Kai, Meatball the Cack, Michael Koenig, Mike Bucklaw, Mike Mancuzu. I'm sorry, Michael. Mike Pasternak, Nate Hanafy, Neeks, Neil Grover, Ponsper Prez, Nicholas Di Nicola, Other Slash, Pascal Barrier, Paul J. Smith, Pavel Kodratev. That's wrong. Phoenix Ignition, I gotta go to a game with Pavel soon. Phoenix Ignition, PJ Sisborough, Randy Tesser, Rich H. Ryan Sieb, Ryan Watch Miracle, yes, Wangarth, Drop BK, Tommy Sinclair, Tommy Sajeshi, Tony O'Neill, Tony Gregory, Torque from Manhattan, Vinny Bracco, Vinny Hay, Will Spector, and finally, and last but not least, Winston, the Golden Retriever. I want to thank everybody for supporting this podcast, for everybody for staying tuned as we go towards this trade deadline, and boy, I don't know. I kind of want to go all in, but what does all in mean? What does it mean? I hate to sound like Seinfeld. I've been finally finishing up. I'm on the last episode, but what does it mean to go all in? Is it for Toronto? Like, is that what that means? I really do kind of expect Drury to just trade for guys I've never even talked about once on this show, despite covering this Ranger team every single day for the last 9 years. So stay tuned for that. Love you guys, and stay safe out there. Bye.